So let's come back to our sugya. So we had seen yesterday, we had sort of laid the groundwork by looking at those two key mishnayos, one in Perek Gid Anosha and Sarivav and Beis, and one right here in Kol HaBasar, Kuvches HaManalf, the famous mishnah of the Tipas Chalav, the drop of milk. And these had laid out for us a question in thinking about Tam Kikr, how much, how far. How is Tom transferred? Those Mishnayos speak about Vayahit. And then they begin to think about how much in terms of there has to be enough flavor from the first item that makes it into the second food that you can actually taste it. It has to be nirgash. It has to be tastable. And we'll be getting back to that later on our Amud. But we often think about Shishim, the ratio of 1 to 60. If there's 60 or more times as much of the second food as the first flavor, totally diluted, you can't taste the flavor. And then finally, the question of how far. How far would the flavor from the, how far would that drop of milk travel within the meat? Okay. And with that in mind, we take a look at this Tosefta, which is the background to our sugya. This Tosefta is quoted in the Gemara in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and is really the background, the backdrop to our sugya in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis as well. Dag Tame, the Mishnayos in Trumas, in the 10th parak of Trumas, have a lot about different situations of flavor transfer of Tam Kiker. And this Tosefta highlights the relevant concept for us. Dagtam ishe kavashom dagtar, if you have a non-kosher fish, here Tame means non-kosher, in the sense that the psukim use it in Parshat Shmini, that's soaking with a kosher fish, medicho o mutter, just rinse off the kosher fish, you're fine. So imagine you have a fisherman who's out in his boat, and he's catching fish, and he catches a trout, kosher fish, and throws it into his bucket of water to keep it fresh. Then he catches a catfish, non-kosher, throws it also into the same bucket. Right? And he comes back an hour later to shore, 2 hours later to shore, with a big bucket, a big vat of water, full of kosher and non-kosher fish. So we say, no problem, medicho mutter. He sells you a whole trout. You take the trout. I was sitting in the water for an hour or two with a tray for fish. Don't worry. Just rinse it off. Rinse off the surface and it's fine. In other words, there was no method of flavor transfer. So there's nothing, the flavor of the catfish didn't get absorbed into the panemius of the kosher trout. Just a question, maybe there's tray for gook on the outside. So rinse off the surface and you're fine. But Dag tamei maliach v'dag tar tafel. But if one of them is salty, then already you may have more of an issue. And the Mishnah, the Bryce, excuse me, gives two examples. Dag tamei maliach v'dag tar tafel. If the trefa fish is salty and the kosher fish is tafel, is bland, is not salty, asur, then the kosher fish just became treif, because the trefa salty fish gave its flavor to the kosher fish. If the catfish had already been salted, it was salted catfish, wasn't fresh, and it was sitting in liquid together with the fresh trout, the fresh salmon, well, that fresh trout or salmon just became treif. But how about the reverse? Dag tar maliach v'dag tamei tafel. If the kosher fish was salty, had some locks, salty locks, or had some salty herring, some salty kosher fish that was sitting in water together with Dag tamei tafel, some bland trefa fish, mutter. And that's mutter. So what does that tell you? Two things. Number one, that there's another method of tam transfer, and that is salt. Maliach, malicha, even though everything is cold. The end of the Tosefta goes on to talk about cooking them together. Dag tamei shebishlom dag tar. That's when the two things are cooked together, then there's a transfer of flavor through heat. But here we're learning that even without heat, melicha can transfer flavor. And number two, we learn something else interesting, which is that melicha is a one-directional transfer of flavor. That it only travels from the salty to the non-salty, but not from the non-salty to the salty. So if I have salty herring in liquid together with bland catfish, the herring remains kosher. The salt only moves the flavor out. The fact that something is salty isn't the reason to pull the flavor in. It's not like chalent. In chalent, where the method of Tama transfer is heat, everything is giving flavor to everything else. But here, it's the salt pushes its flavor onto other things. Interesting. So with that in mind, let's now come to our sugya. Let's open up Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. And let's see what Shmuel tells us. Shmuel's an Amora. So we expect that he might be building off of what Tanaim say, and we expect that he might be chazering what Tanaim say, but that he won't only be chazering over what Tanaim say. He's going to be adding something. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis near the top. So if Yehuda quotes the name of Shmuel, his Rebbe, if Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel, here he's quoting Shmuel. Ka'ira shamalach ba'basar, asar lecha baroseyach. I have a plate upon which, a pan, in which I had salted meat, raw meat. And the Gemara says in Kuf Yud Gimel, if you have to salt raw meat in order to remove the blood. So I have a pan that I had salted meat in. So it had Rashi tells us it absorbed the blood, right? You had the meats, salty meat and blood sitting there on this pan, on this ka'ara. So the salt had driven the tam of the blood into the pan, into the plate, even though it wasn't hot. But melicha is a way, as the Tosefta told us, Shmuel says also, melicha is a new way, a separate method of tam transfer, independent from heat. So now I have this pan that's absorbed. It's a bloody alpidin. It's a trefa pan. It's absorbed all the flavor of blood. Blood is not kosher. So aser lecho baroseyach. Shmuel says you're not allowed to take that pan and fry salami in it. You're not allowed to take that pan and grill salmon in it, or even to take a piece of a hot steak and put it down on that plate, on that pan. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Because it's a trefa pan, it's a trefa plate. It absorbed the taste of blood. You wouldn't use a pan from Burger King to make kosher food. This is the same thing. This is a pan, a ka'ara. It's absorbed the flavor of blood, the non-kosher flavor of blood. You put kosher, hot kosher meat on it, it's going to make the meat trefa. That's what Shmuel said. Ushmuel etayme, and that's Shmuel l'shitaso. Da'amar Shmuel maliach hareyu kiroseach v'chavash hareyu kimavushal. Shmuel said that salt is like a salty piece of meat, like a hot piece of meat. Just like heat transfers flavor, saltiness can transfer flavor. That's what's going on here. And the other half of Shmuel's comment is chavash hareyu kimavushal. That if you soak in liquid, that's the same as cooking. As an aside, in case you're wondering, so how come the Tosefta said that when the trefa fish and the kosher fish were soaking together, medicho or mutter, how come that wasn't kavush? The answer probably is that kavush usually, at least in water, kavush is only if it's for 24 hours. That's why I said, mistama, the Tosefta is talking about the fish were in the bucket of water for an hour or two, not long enough to create a transfer of flavor. Okay. So Shmuel says Melech Kiroseach, which again is already a Tosafta. So that's why Shmuel said that by this Ka'ara, the Ka'ara that had the salty blood in it, that Ka'ara becomes a Trefa Ka'ara. And the Gemara says, well, Ki Asa Ravin, Amar Rabbi, when Ravin came, Ravin was a contemporary of Shmuel. He came when he came. He came from where? Where did he come from? Where did he come to? So the answer is he's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were both Talmid Yehuda Anasi. They're both first generation Amoraim. Shmuel had moved to Eretz Yisrael, had moved to Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan had stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So in the second generation of Amoraim, Rabbi Yehuda is saying over what Shmuel taught him, when Ravin showed up in Bavel, with carrying with him teachings of his Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan and said, no, Meliach eino kiroseach, kavush eino kimavushal. A machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan held the melicha and kavush do not transfer flavor. You need heat. So how do we paskin? So I'm Rabbiye. Had the Ravin Lesa. We reject Ravin. Why? Dahi pincha dahavi be Rabbi Ami, the malach be bisra. There was this pan, some sort of a ceramic piece. It's a pincha. That's what the pincha is. That was in Rabbi Ami's house. And the Marbe Bistra, he used, Rabbi Ami used to use this ceramic pan for, he had used this ceramic pan to salt meat, the tavre, and then he broke it. Rashi points out, you can't kasher ceramic. As once it becomes treif, you just throw it out, you break it. So my, but Mechtil Gemara says, Rabbi Ami Talmud Rabbi Yechanava, Rabbi Ami is also Talmud Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Ami, Eretz Israel. So my time of Tavre, why did he break it? Lav Mishum Deshmiel, it must be because he heard from Rabbi Yechanan, Tavre Meliach Kiroseach. I was here, Rabbi had heard from Rabbi Yechanan that he held the Meliach is Kiroseach. And apparently Rabbi Ami is the more, the Gemara feels is a more reliable Talmud than Ravin. Ravin was a reliable Talmud, but Rabbi Ami is more so. So if there's a machlokas Rabbi Ami and Ravin, what did Rabbi Yechanan say? We will assume like Rabbi Ami. So we assume that Meliach is Keroseach. We assume that Meliach is Keroseach. Two questions to think about for tomorrow. And in Maramakam, you can take a peek at. Well, one question is, there are two ways to phrase this. In a sense, the two questions are two sides of the coin. We might have asked, well, I set you up to think of it before. What's Shmuel adding? We have a Tosefta, right? Tosefta says, Melech Kiroseach. It's as Efta says, the dog tummy with a dog tar, this is Maliach. The dog tummy Maliach with a dog tar, it makes a dog tar treif, mikocha malicha. So what do you need Shmuel for? What's Shmuel's chiddush? Because he gave it a sharper, he gave it a nusach. The Tosefta just gave a case, and Shmuel actually formulated it abstractly. Maliach kiroseach. Maybe. Maybe. What's added? Is anything added in Shmuel's case? And the other question is, Kishen, they were wondering what Shmuel's Chiddush is in all Tosefta. You could also wonder, how could Ravin say otherwise against the Tosefta? Forget about, we reject Ravin because Rabbi Ami, his peer, who's a superior Talmud, heard otherwise from Yechon. We should reject Ravin because he's against the Tosefta. Tosefta says the Moliach is Kiroseach. No? Tosefta says the Dag Tameh, Moliach, trafes up the Dag Tar. So, what's Shmuel's Chiddush? And what's Ravin's Havamina? So, same question. Right? How does our Sugya fit with the Tosefta? If you figure out the answer to the first one, you can figure out the second one. In other words, you can figure out how Shmuel is adding something beyond the Tosefta. So maybe Ravin could agree the Tosefta, he just doesn't agree with what Shmuel is adding. And specifically, to think about that case that Shmuel had given. That with the Ka'ara, is the Ka'ara case, I have the pan that was Bolea blood, I can't use it with the kosher, hot kosher meat. Is that the same as the Tosefta? Is it different than Tosefta? So we'll think about this for tomorrow, pick up with that Mishnah, that'll be our, these questions will be our starting point tomorrow. And there's a short but a little tricky Tosis, the top Tosis of Kufi Alpha and Beis, which may give you some direction in thinking about this. And once we figure out how to understand the Gemara, then we're going to see the Rush is going to raise Akasha, which is going to bring us to Kuf Yud Gimel, and that's going to open up more in terms of how we understand both Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Gimel. We'll get to that, Imirtz Hashem, tomorrow.